This is CJUM 101.5 FM, broadcasting live from Winnipeg.
Hi, this is Guy Clark. You're listening to 101.5 UM FM. Tell the band to go home.
That picture hanging on the wall was painted by a friend. He gave it to me all down and out when he owed me 10. Doesn't look like much, I guess, but it's all that's left to him. It sure is nice from right over here when the light's a little dim. Step inside this house, girl, I'll sing for you a song. I'll tell you about just where I've been. It shouldn't take too long. I'll show you all the things that I own, my treasures, you might say. It couldn't be more than $10 worth. They brighten up my day. This book of poems was given me by a girl I used to know. I guess I read it front to back 50 times or so. It's all about the good life and staying at ease with the world. It's funny how I love that book and I never loved that girl. Step inside this house, girl, I'll sing for you a song. I'll tell you about just where I've been. It shouldn't take too long. I'll show you all the things that I own, my treasures, you might say. It couldn't be more than $10 worth. They brighten up my day. Now you hold this piece of glass up to the light that's shining through the door. It's a prism glass, I found it on the road. And can't you see that tiny rainbow? Not really a prison, I guess it just kind of broke a funny way. I was on my way through Houston and I was headed for L.A. Step inside this house, girl, I sing for you a song. I tell you about just where I've been. It shouldn't take too long. I show you all the things that I own, my treasures, you might say. It couldn't be more than $10 worth. They brighten up my day. This guitar was given me by old man Thomas Gray. It's not too much to look at, but I play every day. Been across this country 4 or 5 times, I guess. Between me and old man Tom, it never got much rest. Step inside this house, girl, I sing for you a song. I tell you about just where I've been. It shouldn't take too long. I'll show you all the things that I own, my treasures, you might say. It couldn't be more than $10 worth. They brighten up my day. Now that's just about all that I own, all I care to, I guess. Except this pair of boots, maybe. That funny yellow vest, and that leather jacket, and that leather bag, and that hat hanging on the wall. Just so it's not too much to carry, babe, could I see you again next fall? Step inside this house, girl. I'll sing for you a song. I'll tell you about just where I've been. It shouldn't take too long. I'll show you all the things that I own. My treasures, you might say. It couldn't be more than $10 worth. They brighten up my day.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome to Tell the Band to Go Home. It's UMFM's weekly singer-songwriter show. My name's Jeff. Down here till 4 o'clock, playing you the good stuff. We play you the greatest songwriters of all time, right up against some of the greatest of today and some folks you should have heard of, but you haven't, and all kinds of stuff like that. But like I said, we are always grounded in the greats and keeping their songs and their stories and their memories alive, and that's what we're going to do today for one of the very greatest of all time. Guy Clark, one of the most revered and respected songwriters of all time, a guy who, if your favorite songwriter doesn't say that Guy Clark is his favorite songwriter, you need a new favorite songwriter. Because Guy Clark has, like I said, influenced and touched so many lives with such powerful songs. We kicked it off with Lyle Lovett there, a guy who got his start as thanks to Guy Clark. Really, Guy Clark was passing around Lyle's demo tapes, trying to get Lyle a deal. Before Lyle even knew who he was, somehow it had gotten into Guy's hands, and Guy was working on Lyle's behalf, trying to get him started. And he's done a lot of good for him in the years since, including giving him that song right there, Step Inside This House. As legend goes, that was the first song that Guy Clark ever wrote. And as Lyle always says when he plays that song, that just doesn't seem fair. And really, if you think about it, he's exactly right about that. What a song. What a way to launch a career. Guy was such a legendary character. Him and Townes Van Zandt, you could write books and books and books about the stories about those two characters running around. And we got a bunch of great Guy Clark stories coming up for you today. We'll hear from our pal John Wart Hanum coming up a little bit later. We're going to talk to Mike Plume pretty soon. And a Winnipeg story coming up real quick. First, I want to play you one more great one from Guy. His first album was called Old Number One. It came out in 1975, and it still stands as one of the greatest singer-songwriter albums of all. Like, every song off this record is just stellar, and all of them have been covered at some point or another by people, and we do have a lot of Guy Clark covers coming up today as well. But I want to go to that record. And the other day I was looking at this list on Paste magazine, and I know they do these things just to make us mad and, you know, get us talking. But they listed the 15 favorite Guy Clark songs, the 15 best Guy Clark songs of all time, and this one wasn't on it. And that pretty much told me what I needed to know about that particular list. What a story. You know, I've always been a fan of putting something stellar at the end of a record. Too often when you get to the end of a record, you're pretty much done with it. You know, those songs at the end, sometimes they're kind of weak and you just feel done with it. Sometimes somebody puts a song on the end of a record that you go, holy crap, what was that? I think I need to listen to this again. And that's exactly what this song does. Listen to this story. If this story doesn't get you right in the heart, you probably don't have one.
Now he's a wino, tried and true. Done about everything there is to do. And he worked on freighters, and he worked in bars, and he worked on farms, and he worked on cars. And it was white port to put that look in his eye grown men get when they need to cry. And we sat down on the curb to rest, and his head just fell down on his chest. He says every single day it gets just a little bit harder to handle, and yet. And he lost the thread, and his mind got cluttered, and the words just rolled off down the gutter. Well, he was elevator man in a cheap hotel, exchange for the rent on a one-room cell, and he's old years beyond his time, no thanks to the world and the white port wine. So he says, son, he always called me son, he said life for you had just begun. And then he told me the story that I'd heard before, how he fell in love with a Dallas whore. Well, he could cut through the ears to the very night that it ended in a whorehouse fight, and she turned his last proposal down in favor of being a girl about town. And I spent 17 years riding line, and he ain't been straight none of the time. It's too many days of fighting the weather, too many nights of not being together. So he died. Through his personal effects, in among the stubs from the welfare checks was a crumbling picture of a girl in a door, an address in Dallas and nothing more. The welfare people provided the priest, a couple from the mission down the street sang Amazing Grace, no one cried except some lady in black way off to the side. We all left and she's standing there, black veil covering her silver hair, and old one-eyed John said her name was Alice, and she used to be a whore in Dallas. So let him roll, Lord, let him roll. Betty's gone to Dallas, rest his soul. Just to let him roll, Lord, let him roll. He always said that heaven just a Dallas whore. Let him roar, Lord, let him roll. Betty's gone to Dallas, rest his soul. That slow valley shuffle to some cowboy hustle, how she made them trophy buckles shine, shine, shine. Wild-eyed Mexican silver tricking dumb old cousin Willard into thinking that he got her this time. I was a fool in your shoes.
There is Rita Ballou, the first song on Guy Clark's first record, Old Number One, and we also heard the last song on that record, Let 'Em Roll, before that. And we got ourselves our first Guy Clark story from Winnipegger and Good Guy. You may know him best as the mandolin madman in the D-Rangers. It's our old pal Aaron Goss. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Jeff?
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm doing well. You know, it's not the greatest of circumstances. We never really want to talk about someone like Guy Clark dying, but let's be honest. We knew his time was coming. If there's any surprise to me, it's that he lasted as long as he did, you know?
Agreed.
The way him and Towns lived, it's probably not fair that he lasted so long, but it was certainly a good stay. And you had a run-in with Guy.
I did. Quite a number of years ago, actually probably one of the things for me when the D-Rangers or the guitar player at the time, but yeah, it was a very much a formative incident in my young life that I was very extremely lucky and able to be a part of. I was after him and Towns had played at the Folk Festival, and due to lack of my family of close friends with Mitch Kadolik and Mitch and Ava had their traditional sort of post-folk festival party.
Right.
And kind of the guests of honor that year were Guy and Towns.
Wow.
And while Towns and my dad drank a bottle of rum on one side, there was sort of an impromptu jam that happened. And being young and cocky, I mean, at this point in my life, I wasn't really a root sort of country singer-songwriter fan as much as I've become since. But
yeah.
I had a sense of the magnitude of who Guy and Towns were, at least. But being a young, classy guy with this jam going on and being an obsessive guitar player, well, at that point, sort of more a rock and blues kind of guy, I grabbed the guitar and jumped in. And due to, I guess, my recognition of the auspiciousness of the circumstance, I really dug in as hard as I could.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of, at that point, the best I'd ever played in my life. And Guy took notice, and at one point he got up to hit the washroom and go to gonna refresh his drink, and he handed me his guitar and said, you take this thing and you play the rhymes with spit word out of it.
Yeah.
And so I did. It was this gigantic guitar that he had built. It was like a triple dreadnought or something, and had like basically like fence wire for strings. So but if anyone seen the D-Rangers, you know, I'm not afraid to dig in.
Yeah, that's
which,
right.
So I did as hard as I could. Guy came back, and I tried to give him his guitar, and he was very insistent that he play my guitar, and I keep playing that thing, so I did.
Yeah.
Just wrote it as long as I could. And it was just an incredible experience writing this wave of adrenaline. And then sort of later on in the evening, after the jam had died down, he told myself and a couple of my friends that I had brought in from Kenora for the festival. We were hanging out, and he pulled us aside and sort of gave us a little quick lesson talking about songwriting, and played Desperado's Waiting for a Train, and all three of us really not being from a sort of country singer-songwriter kind of place in terms of our own music listening at the time. We're all just kind of like jaws on the floor, just incredible. So, you know, like an intimate performance for three people that is directed at you as a instructional, just like...
Wow.
I still shake my head.
No kidding. So you hadn't...
I don't know that it's sunk in however many years later it is now.
Yeah. So you hadn't really listened to him before that. I find it hard to believe that your dad didn't have any Guy Clark records laying around.
He did, but I'd heard bits, but, you know, it wasn't, I hadn't done my time.
Yeah.
So I knew a couple of songs, but and I think the thing that really stuck with me that I guess you can thank him for or pledge him for is at the end of it, he would give me so much encouragement. And just, like, the last thing that stuck with me was saying, you know, like, promising one thing is that you keep playing music and do what you can, and
really
here we are, so thanks, Guy.
Wow. I mean, he was so good to so many people. I mean, he could also be a real jerk to a lot of people.
He's a jerk in that sort of old salt of the earth kind of cantankerous warm kind of way, you know, at
he's
the
just
same time
brutally
sort of
honest
and
I think,
just and so warm and so supportive, you know?
but with
some crusty gritty edges.
Yeah. So after that, did you go seek out the records, or when did it kind of dawn to you that you'd played with, you know, one of the greatest songwriters of all time?
To an extent, it was kind of instant and, you know, like tried to looked into some of his stuff and dug in a little bit, and then sort of moved away and went back to sort of got really heavily into punk rock for a number of years, but that sort of was always something that was gestating in the back of my head. And then as I started to sort of more gain an appreciation for roots music, just like I, guy stuff and towns and stuff just always really stuck to me like it did to a lot of people. And I mean, just like the more that I listened and the more that I really understood the gravity of his body of work, the more I just like couldn't believe how lucky and how much I fluked into something without even really understanding, as often happens, sort of the gravity of what's going on at the time.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you've been a fan ever since.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. What about those songs grabbed you so much? I mean, what was it that that spoke to you so directly?
Well, I mean, the way that he can, like the second where he pulled us aside and did Desperado, it's just like the strength of the imagery and how unbelievably evocative. And I mean, this is what something that struck a couple of guys who even less than me had a grounding in roots music, but just, you know, the level of craftsmanship and just creating this very visceral image that, you know, you can almost with that song, and almost like smell the dust in the air, you know.
It's, yeah,
something that he was able to capture that is, a lot of people have tried and no one's really duplicated exactly what he did.
Absolutely. That song's been done so many times by so many people. Do you have a favorite version, or just should we just go back to the original?
I don't know. I like the Rangers. I don't know. Just kidding on that.
Yeah.
That's probably one of my least favorite versions. I don't know. I mean, really, you're not going to top the original.
Yeah.
Well, number one, again, like you were saying a minute ago, it's just top to bottom one of the, maybe the greatest singer-songwriter album ever created.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not there, it's in the conversation.
Yeah. There just is no weakness on that record.
It's anyway. One of the few absolutely flawless records I can think of.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But before we play that song, what's going on with you? I know the D-Rangers have a show coming up this year. Is it just the one? What's going on?
There will be more in the future. Jackson is moving back to Winnipeg.
So what?
It's going to be August 1st. I don't know.
You
if
just dropped a bombshell.
I thought that was okay. Well, yes. So we're going to be doing an Alberta tour in like 10 and a half months, I believe.
Seriously?
We'll be not functional at the same level that we were before in terms of playing, you know, shows all the time.
Yeah.
But the reunions are not going to be a sporadic thing. We're going to be back to being a somewhat functional band. So we'll do a little bit more recording at some point. And, you know, we'll be going back into something. We've had this time apart. And, you know, everyone's grown as a musician with doing different projects. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens when we get it all back together and start working on some new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you guys played at the Trout Forest Music Festival last year, and it just, like, I could just see the joy in your face. I mean, you guys always had a great time. I don't think I ever saw a show where anybody in the D-Rangers looked unhappy to be there, that's for sure. But there was something special in the water last year when you guys kind of got back together after a bit of an absence, and I'm so glad that it spurred you to keep going.
I am too.
Wow.
I'm very, very excited about that.
Well, that is the best news I've heard so far today, and thanks for the story, and we certainly wish you well, sir.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the rest of the show. It's going to be fun.
All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Jeff.
And I'd play the Red River Valley. He'd sit in the kitchen and cry, and run his fingers through 7 days of living, and wonder, Lord, as ever will I drill gone dry. Oh, his friends, me and this old man, was like desperados waiting for a train. Like desperados waiting for a train. Well, he's a drifter and a driller of oil wells, and an old school man of the world. He taught me how to drive his car when he's too drunk to. And he'd wink and give me money for the girls. And our lives was like some old western movie. But like Desperado was waiting for a train. Like Desperado was waiting for a train. From the time that I could walk, he'd take me with him to a bar called the Green Frog Cafe. And there was old men with beer, guts and dominoes, lying about their lives while they played. And I was just a kid. They all called him sidekick. Was like Desperado was waiting for a train. Like Desperado was waiting for a train. And one day I looked up and he's pushing 80. Has brown tobacco stains all down his chin. Well, I mean, he's one of the heroes of this country. So why is he all dressed up like them old men? Drinking beer and playing moon in 42. Just like a desperado waiting for a train. Like a desperado waiting for a train. And in the day before he died, I went to see him. And I was grown, and he was almost gone. So we just closed our eyes and dreamed us up a kitchen. Sang another verse to that old song. Come on, Jack, that son of a bitch is coming. And with Desperado he's waiting for a train. Like Desperado he's waiting for a train. Like Desperado he's waiting for a train.
The classic Desperado's Waiting for a Train. Thanks so much to Aaron Goss, and boy, oh boy, did I like what I heard in that phone call. We got another big phone call coming up in just a minute. We're just going to play a quick commercial break and come back with one of my very favorite storytellers and one of my very favorite stories coming up right after this.